This is Falling Behind, a major new report by the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. One takeaway: between 2009 and 2016, Wisconsin's economy generated more than 180,000 jobs, a 7% increase. But there was a tremendous disparity in that. Calumet County up 23%, Buffalo County down 28% in the jobs. To talk about falling behind, thanks to Todd Berry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and Dale Knapp, research director for the Taxpayers Alliance. Gentlemen, thanks very much. I'm too much of a wonk. I consider this a major study. Todd, why did you do this?
Well, when you think about press coverage of state political figures, they're always concentrating on our jobs are up X, our jobs are down Y. And of course, their numbers never agree because they're always calling each other names. But we have known for a long time that there's not one Wisconsin. There's, you know, multiple regional economies. And we just thought it was important to put on the radar that just because you're talking about Wisconsin doesn't mean things are uniform. And there's a lot going on under the surface.
Dale, I know you worked on this for months, and I'm so curious, why did you pick five factors for each of the counties? And those factors were job changes, 2009-16 in each county, population changes, labor force, residential home values, and unemployment rates. And by the way, you can find that on page 7 of the study. Excuse me, Dale.
Well, people focus on jobs, and that's the big economic measure that's out there. We wanted to broaden that because jobs don't always perfectly measure what's going on in an economy. And so we picked a variety of measures, measures that people are familiar with. We didn't want to get too wonky. And we wanted to keep it to a smaller number. But as Todd mentions often, the patterns that we see in this study with these five measures show up in a variety of economic and demographic measures that we look at. So it's not just isolated to these five. It shows up over and over again.
Well, the Calumet County Chamber of Commerce is probably real proud of their 23% upper. Yes. Yeah. The Buffalo County Chamber of Commerce may not be so impressed with a 28% decline in this seven-year window. So talk about the sources of your data, please.
Sure. The most of the job and unemployment data come from the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics. So the job numbers are what we call the gold standard of job numbers. They're the numbers used by employers have to report for unemployment purposes, so they're really good job numbers. Population comes from the census. The home values comes from the Department of Revenue equalized value reports, and so we can siphon data from that. So they're all from either state or federal sources.
Todd, I want to show a graphic now talking about the counties with the biggest change. Calumet County up 23, Kenosha up 22. We'll get to Kenosha and Fox County in a little bit. St. Croix up 19, Ozaukee up 16, Chippewa up 14, Clark up 14, Greene up 12, Trempealeau up 12. But now let's talk about the other side. Buffalo, as I mentioned, with a drop-off, a decline in jobs of 28%, followed by Wood, Green Lake, Iron, Kewaunee, Price, Ashland, and Iowa. Are you surprised at which counties did the best and worst, my friend?
No, and actually our maps, show more counties. And what the pattern you see when you take not only these counties but get into it is you see the north standing out. You see pockets in central Wisconsin, southwest Wisconsin. Those would probably be the biggies. The Madison area, the western Wisconsin, the Fox River Valley, all areas of strength. And that's pretty consistent. And the theme here, I think, and Dale and I have talked about this a lot, is isolation. That counties without population centers, without major highways, without enough internet access, without higher education to any great degree, are really lagging. And so they're isolated in all sorts of ways, and they're probably isolated politically too, because when we hear these debates statewide, we don't get down to that level.
Well, every one of our counties has a different story in terms of its local economy. But can you guys paint with a broad brush and generally
Why did these counties do so much better than the other counties? Can you give just some overall observations? Or is every county different?
There's sort of a couple of factors. First of all, every county is different. For example, Kenosha County, being on the border, had a lot of firms from Illinois moving across. They had the new Amazon warehouse. Those kinds of things affect their numbers significantly.
They're up 22%.
Kewaunee County, when the power plant was shut down, lost a major employer.
That's a good example.
So there are. Everybody has their own little story, but the overriding theme really is access, and so it's access to major highways. We're a manufacturing state, an agricultural state, so access to major highways is important for a lot of those jobs.
Before we get to the highways and other factors, I want to talk about the border phenomenon, because your report says that counties that are contiguous to Illinois and Minnesota generally did better than counties contiguous that border Iowa and Michigan. Thoughts on why?
Well, that's the same theory writ large, which is, just as major urban areas in this state tend to be attractions for jobs and so forth, what are the big metro areas in this part of the country? Chicago and Minneapolis-St. Paul. And sure enough, greater Minneapolis-St. Paul and greater Chicago are impinging, if you will, those two corners of the state.
Right, and St. Croix County did pretty well, and we just built a new bridge to, I think, Stillwater, like that.
Sure. St. Croix has been at the top of so many lists for a long time.
Right. Now let's get to the three factors that you identify in terms of keying these local economies. Four-lane highways, you identify. Access to universities, four-year universities and 2 years.
Four-year was what we looked at,
And then broadband. Now, I want to pull a quote from the study on broadband. In 10 of the 15 counties with the fastest job growth, more than 80% of residents had access to high-speed internet. Of 16 counties with job declines, just 5 reached that threshold of 80%. How telling is broadband? Because I hear all the debates in the Capitol, the rural legislators, we need this. Stories of people having to go to their libraries and city halls. So talk to me about broadband.
Well, it's critical for, in this day and age, it's critical for education, it's critical for business. You have to have access to the internet, access to information. We hear stories, we go and we talk to business people, we talk to educators up north, and they one of the first things that they talk about is the lack of broadband and how when students get out of school and are on the internet, essentially businesses, their access tends to shut down. And so those kinds of things are a big detriment. And so that's one of the easier things in some ways that we can do to begin to help the North is find ways to get better broadband access up there.
And let's not, the North is clearly a problem, but it's not just the North. And from my perspective, there's no excuse for this. Campuses are expensive. Highways, obviously, are expensive. There is no reason why cable, fiber optic, and lots of it can't be laid all over outstate rural Wisconsin. And I'm not being critical here. The private sector's not going to do it because it's not economic. There's a market failure in the jargon, so it's totally appropriate for the state to go in there and do it, and we're not doing it enough of it fast enough.
You just said what I want to read from page 7 of the report, and it backs up what you just said. State government has neither the financial wherewithal nor political will to extend these benefits, highways, high speed, four-year campuses to new parts of the state. Why? Just the reluctance to raise taxes? The lack of political clout in the capital?
There's always that, but I would say political clout. When you look at, declining enrollment school districts, which tend to match these maps, and you start to count up the number of assembly people and senators that have the vast majority of declining enrollment districts, there just aren't enough of them. So why do rural schools, why do declining enrollment districts to some degree get ignored in budget fights? There's just not enough voices.
What? Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you just say that our your study uses the term worst performing counties between 2009 and 16, post-recession? So did I just hear you say that those counties are going to continue to be starved for these key services, state services?
Well, I mean, yes, because they don't have them. We can fix the internet one if we want. The others are harder. But the thing about the internet is then you aren't losing young people. They can stay in their community and work long distances. You know, people can find jobs elsewhere in the state or the region and stay in these small communities, but they can't do it without the internet.
And I think that's a really important point. As the father of some millennials, you can't attract millennials to locations that don't have access to the internet. That, you know, that's how they live. So, you know, that makes it harder to attract young people to the north because, again, they don't have that access, and that all feeds on itself.
Well, to stay on broadband for just a little bit, all the press releases that I see from elected officials in the Capitol saying we're making progress in broadband, are they overstating the progress we've made, do you think, Dale, as someone who's looked at this?
I think they're making progress.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's if I'm a business person in the north, an educator in the north, I'm wondering if it's fast enough.
Okay.
We're still hearing stories in the last 12 months of, you know, from local businesses, from parents, from school people that, you know, they don't have access. This is too anecdotal, but I have a niece whose daughter is living in rural Rock Dane County. All her textbooks are being downloaded, and she can't access them.
Where does she have to go? To a library?
Well, she has to stay at school, okay. Or go to a library or something like that.
Yeah. And you said earlier this is a problem that state government could fix if it had the will.
If they can, you know, this is something, if it's a priority, you can solve it in a short period of time.
Okay, I want to ask about, before we talk to, we turn to what your study calls the north-south divide, I want to ask about three specific counties. Milwaukee County, your indexes, the five index, jobs were up 2.7%, population up 0.1%, labor force up 2.4%, residential values off 9.3%, unemployment rate 5.1%. Do you rate, does your study consider Milwaukee County one of the worst performing? Talk to me about Milwaukee County.
Well, Milwaukee, we all know, I mean, we've known for a long time that Milwaukee County has really struggled. Milwaukee County was the prime engine of Wisconsin growth for a long time. It has a lot of large manufacturers, a lot of large employers. But what we've seen is those jobs moving out from the city of Milwaukee to the suburbs and from those suburbs to other counties. And so it's sort of continuing in that manner, that things are sort of moving out to Waukesha, to Washington, to Ozaukee.
Any PSs on Milwaukee County, Tom?
Well, yes. Milwaukee is a problem. So is Racine. They don't show up at the bottom of this list, mm-hmm. but, you know, we have maps that have more gradations of color, and they're in the weaker group. And that's, again, it's not just rural, it's not just north. They are in a sense isolated too, because they have large parts of the population that don't have the wherewithal to have access to technology, and they don't have the wherewithal to have access to jobs because they don't drive.
And the two other counties I want to ask about, Buffalo County, as I alluded to in the open, lost 28% of its jobs in the 7-year window. Next door to it, Trempealeau County, up 12%. Now, I have personally tried to make five contacts with local officials in these counties asking for an explanation, and I haven't heard anything back. Any clues on why one county would be at the top in terms of job increase and the other lead the state in job losses? Well, the Trempealeau Buffalo.
Maybe we can tag team this and come up with some reasons. One is that Lower Trempealeau County is commuting distance to La Crosse, and there's a river bridge there. The other thing, I mean, if you want to be specific, is if I recall, Ashley Furniture is in Trempealeau County. Buffalo is just far enough away that Southern Buffalo County is a bit of a hike to Eau Claire, a bit of a hike to La Crosse. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Buffalo County has any bridges across the river. I could be wrong about that.
Well, the county seat is Alma.
Alma, yeah.
And you've got Mondovi, and then in...
Yeah, there may be a crossing in Southern Buffalo County, but I think you've got to go north or south even to get across the river.
Okay.
And the other thing that I would say that's going on, that has been going on in Trempealeau County, I believe they're one of the counties that really took advantage of fracking.
Sand mining was a key to their local economy.
Yeah. So that's been an impact there.
That's
as well.
A good point. Now I want to talk to this fascinating subject, what your subject calls the North-South Divide in Wisconsin. And really, when you look at your study, it's north and south of Highway 29. Mm-hmm. And you point out north of Highway 29 has, let me get this right, one-third of the land area, 9% of the population. Then south of 29, we have a north-south divide, two-thirds of the land area, 90% of the population. And 89% of southern residents south of 29 have internet access, and north of 64%. Talk to me about what your study says, the north-south divide.
Well, it's another way to look at the data. We're not saying that there aren't pockets elsewhere. It's just that there's a concentration of these counties in northern Wisconsin. So when you draw a line across the state and just divide it that way, the strength in the south and the Dane and Ozaukee and Washington and so forth.
And then St. Croix on the west, as
and
you said.
And will overwhelm whatever weaknesses they have. Whereas in the north, there's not much to balance it. I mean, there are no great engines of growth in the north. Dale might have something to add.
Were you surprised at the extent of the gap between north and south, Dale?
I think people will be surprised because we sort of follow this to some degree. I wasn't surprised. There were a couple of things that I was surprised at. For example, looking at the workforce, the size of the workforce change between 2009 and 16 in the southern half of the state, up 1.2%. That's small growth. That's not. We need something bigger than that. In the north, down 5.1%. So, I mean, that's an indication that things are really things are difficult up there. And I think one of the things that you see is the north doesn't have any even medium-sized cities for the most part. You go Superior, but other than that, you've got Marinette, which has about 10,000 people. After that, you have
you go to
small,
your Rhinelanders.
You're talking 5,000-7,000 people. And young people especially are big city people. And so that's becoming a real challenge.
What are the implications if the north-south divide widens, Todd, for our state?
Well, and this goes to some degree for Milwaukee and Racine, too. To the degree that you have areas where the data are uniformly bad, or in the case of Milwaukee and Racine, there's a fair amount of people there, they're going to act as a drag, and I don't mean that pejoratively, on the rest of the state. They're going to make the data not look as good. And we've played with this, where you take out certain parts of the state and rerun the data, and suddenly Wisconsin looks like it's performing at the national average or above the national average. Mm-hmm. it's not evident in this study, but we did one a couple years ago that showed that the industrial southeast, which includes Milwaukee and Racine, was lagging behind almost every other region of the state except the north.
What are, assuming that the trend continues, unfortunately, let's make that assumption, what are the economic engines left in northern Wisconsin, north of 29? Thoughts?
Well, the sad one, I mean, what we think of the north, we think of tourism. And what blew us away, and maybe Dale has the exact figure in his head, is that, well, yeah, it's on here. Leisure hospitality industry, north, minus 0.1%.
Right.
In other words, there's more tourism growth going on in the south and not in the supposed tourist mecca of the north.
And I want to back that up. That's page 11 of the report. Leisure and hospitality in northern Wisconsin, north of 29, was off, as you said, 0.1%. But the contrast, in southern Wisconsin, a growth of 10.7%. But, and this is the tourism industry. That's very surprising.
Well, there could be a couple of things going on here. One, you know, I'm not sure that there's less tourism going on up there. I think probably what's going on is they can't find people to fill those tourism jobs.
Really?
And so, you know, you've got still people coming in, but you don't have, you know, the people to man the stores and fill the job that typically had been filled.
And an anecdote here, somebody remarked to me that the nature of families with children, working parents, and how they vacation may have changed to the degree that they're so wedded to technology, then they're not necessarily going to use areas of the state that don't have that technology to recreate or relax either.
Mm. I want to turn to the workforce issues of the future. And I want to pull a quote from your study. In 20 of Wisconsin's 72 counties, the primary working age population, and that's 24 to 64, declined between 2015. 16 of those 20 were in northern Wisconsin. Implications for the future?
Well, if you don't, you can't create jobs if you don't have workers. Again, this is one of those things. It's a chicken or egg thing. Everything's sort of feeding on itself. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, we don't have the roads, we don't have the internet access that businesses need. We also then don't have the people, you know, if we want to create jobs. So, you know, it's one of those things that's really feeding on each other.
And just to piggyback on that, you also have what's called a chart on replacement rates. Mm-hmm. Areas where less than 50% of, explain this to me.
Well, yeah, simply.
Because we're going to show the chart.
You've got a lot of baby boomers yes. that are retiring. They're sort of the drain in the bathtub. Then you have, you know, millennials, younger people coming into the world. They're sort of the faucet. And if there's more going out the drain than coming in the faucet, you're going to have a problem. And that, in a sense, is the notion of replacement rate that Dale came up with. We don't have the bodies coming in the workforce to replace those that are going out.
And the implications for the north of Highway 29 for health care as your residents age, mm-hmm. and for education and the problems posed by the rural schools and the brain drain, right, Todd?
Yeah. So you've hit it all.
Okay.
Healthcare, you know, the growth in health and education is double in the south what it is in the north. I think it's interesting that there is growth in the information sector in the south, 4%, and almost 15% decline in the north.
Yes.
Well, to the degree that information also and technology serves education, healthcare, et cetera, it's just going to ripple.
Okay.
And I do think this replacement rate is really one of the most important pieces of this, because you can look back and say, oh, things were bad, et cetera. That doesn't necessarily translate going forward. But the replacement rate tells us 10 years out what things are probably going to look like if things don't change. And I mean, it's looking forward, it looks worse for the north again. It's sort of more of the same, maybe even worse. And that's a
problem. Almost guarantee it, because we did a study now over 10 years ago that said by a few years ago we were going to have real workforce issues. It wasn't that we were terribly smart. You just looked at the population trends. You could see it. We can see the demographic numbers now. We know what's going to happen. We can almost guarantee it unless there's something proactive to correct it.
Well, let's add in a current events issue. What does the Foxconn announcement for Racine County, Mount Pleasant, what does it do to the north-south gap, assuming Foxconn builds a manufacturing facility that employs thousands sometime over the next 3 years? What does it do to the north-south gap?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, it's going to Wisconsin, especially the southern part of the state, we're already in a labor shortage environment. So it's going to put pressure on that. You know, it may draw more young people that from the north, you know, to that area because you know
instead
at wages
of brain drain out of the state,
yeah, it's
from northern
north
to southern,
south, yeah, yeah,
and maybe even their parents. I mean, it's fairly rational to say, well, you know, I can't find a job up here. There's going to be jobs down there. At least if I go down there, I can still, you know, visit grandma within a day or whatever. I think that this is a big enough activity that it will be pulling jobs from northern Illinois, and it may very well be pulling jobs from outstate Wisconsin.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Two more questions. Which stat, you went through data from 2009 to 2016. Which stat or which fact most concerned you, Dale, and then Todd?
For me, it's the replacement rate. Okay. Looking forward, things look really, really difficult going forward.
Okay. And then Todd?
Well, I would agree, but for the sake of adding something, I would say when you study population or property value trends, residential value trends, mm-hmm. and new construction, it mirrors a lot of this. There are 32 counties in this state whose home values haven't recovered from the recession.
From the recession. Yes, and you put that in another newsletter. Okay, Todd, now here's a big picture question. What policy, political decisions would they have to make in the Capitol to deal with the conclusions of your study?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say the easiest is to decide we're going to have a kind of a space trip to the moon kind of effort on broadband internet intensively in every part of the state. The other thing is, you know, we just backed off in the state budget after a veto financial help for districts that spent the least and are often the declining enrollment ones. And one of the things that will accelerate problems in these isolated communities is loss of a school.
Yeah. Okay. Any other PSs on the study? I mean, how can people, it's an 11-page study, it's eminently readable, how can people find it?
Our website is WISTAX, WISTAX.org.
And
they can go there and ask for a free copy, or they can go to our website, call us, email us, and we'll send them one. If they request two or three, they can share one with their chamber or their local legislator or whatever.
Falling Behind, an 11-page study that's very valuable, and the dialogue about Wisconsin's present and future. I want to thank Todd Berry. Congratulations on your retirement.
Oh, that's not generally known, but yes, I am fading into the sunset.
And Dale, thanks very much.
Glad to be here.
And just a programming note, on Tuesday, I'll be interviewing David Ekman. He's president of the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce. He'll take a look at a regional perspective on some of the trends and the economics of the future for his region. That's Tuesday at Wisconsin Eye. Thank you.